And we can stay here in John chapter 1. We're going to stay in the Gospel of John today, even though we're in the middle of our Philippians study, because it is the Sunday before Christmas. So I want to start off just by asking, and there's probably like a few wrong answers. I hope there's enough of a filter now that the youngest of us are all out of the room, but what is your favorite part about Christmas? And go ahead and say presents if you want to. That's not a problem. But what's your favorite thing about the Christmas season? And you don't have to say God, okay? Like, we're Christians. We know it. Giving gifts. I love giving gifts. Getting gifts, I'm always like, I don't know what to do. I love singing them. And I think we do a really good job of kind of like shrinking all of the Christmas songs into a special time frame, and some of you guys have longer time frames than the rest of us, but it makes them special that we don't just sing them all the time. What else? Saw somebody else looking like they were going to talk. All right, decorations and like the actual act of decorating them, and then being able to like look back at them and be like, hey, this is great. What else? Yeah. Yeah, that's always fun. You know, we take that for granted here in America, that there are going to be people who like haven't actually read the Christmas story and then being like, hey, by the way, this leads to something else. What else? Yes. So everyone here just hates cooking and baking? I don't blame you. I'm just asking. Yeah, I like the eating, but you got to have somebody that's willing to make it, so... One, I can't say it's the most favorite thing, but one of my favorite things at Christmas is driving in the dark, because it's always, because it's winter, but seeing lights everywhere. Our family, we never did like this crazy light display or anything, but every year, even though my dad is afraid of ladders, we would get up on our roof and hang lights everywhere down the... And as we got older, I was able to be like, can we put lights on this? And they're like, sure, if you want to put lights on that, you can put lights on anything. So I love Christmas lights. It makes me feel less saddened by the fact that it is dark all of the time and it's freezing cold. At least from your car, Christmas lights make it feel a little bit better. And it's one of the things about winter, with it being dark a lot more of the time. In summer, like, yeah, sometimes you can hang lights, but, like, you have to, like, stay up till forever to enjoy them, or get up at, like, 2 in the morning. Like, those are your options in the summer. In the winter, you have Christmas lights on whenever you want to, because it's either cloudy and gray or it's dark outside. And so they make things more enjoyable and more exciting. As we think about lights, especially around Christmas time, for me, at being the age that I am, you know, lights are just a given, right? I mean, like, we panic when our power goes out for like 20 minutes. We're like, what are we gonna do? And then it's like, it was not long ago that we didn't have electricity, and like you used candles in order to see, and you used the, you know, fireplaces to stay warm. But lights are such a everyday thing for us now. They're so common. But like, let's think about how often we use lights, especially in the winter, right? I mean, if we didn't use lights, we would all just sleep all the time in the winter, because there's like, you got like 7 hours of daylight. That's all you got. So like, lights are very important. And like, to be honest, you get all these like promotional items and things, right? And they don't know what to do. They want to call it like a 5-in-1, but there's only like 3 things on it. And one of the things you do is you just add a flashlight. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. Think about it. Like, I mean, it's a magnifying glass with a flashlight. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't even have to go hand in hand. It's just like, here's a random keychain that like will break you out of your car, but it also has a flashlight. It's like, everything has a flashlight on it nowadays. And it's just because lights are so important, and it's, you know, we've gotten good at making lights, right? You know, I remember when I was a kid, we had incandescent bulbs. Like, that was what you did, right? Well, I mean, we quickly, in my lifetime, went through a whole phase of, like, compact fluorescence, and then, like, now we got LEDs, like, that, like, use, like, zero electricity and, like, light up everything like it's the middle of the day in July. Why is that? I'd say that, you know, there's something in us that enjoys being able to see, first of all. But we like having light, and we enjoy having the ability to do what light brings. And the only time we really don't like light is one, if we have a headache, or two, if we're trying to sleep. All other times, we like having light. And I think it speaks to the fact that we don't really like darkness. You know, we grow out of the whole, like, calling for our parents in the middle of the night thing because it's dark. But I don't think very many of us like darkness, at least as a, like, day-to-day situation. I mean, even the lack of having electricity overnight makes me uncomfortable, right? And so what do? We go and buy flashlights, or we find all our promotional things that have flashlights, right? And we use batteries in order to see. Here in John chapter 1, it talks about this as Jesus being the light, the true light that came into the world. And at Christmas time, I think it's important for us to consider what Jesus coming into the world and using the image of light. One, could help us appreciate Christmas lights a little bit more. If any of you are out there like, I don't like Christmas lights. Okay, so this is one of the reasons we have lights at Christmas. But also for us to understand the significance of what Jesus came to do, and then what Jesus told us we are to do. I think it was last week in Philippians, Paul talked about us shining in the darkness like stars. Well, we get that from the model of Jesus, who came on Christmas as the light of the world into the darkness of our world. So let's start in John chapter 1. We'll start in verse 1. We are not going to dwell much on the use of word or logos here. A lot of times that's what we come to this text to talk about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, so we're just going to take that verse at face value, and we're not going to over-theologize that. I don't remember what the verb of theology is, but we're not going to look into that too deeply. The point is, in the beginning, which the other part of the Bible that talks about in the beginning isn't actually at the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, in the beginning, before there was time, was the Word, and John is going to use several different metaphors for Jesus. So this is talking about Jesus. In the beginning, Jesus was, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God before the world began, right? Before we even existed, before man was created, Jesus was, he was God, and he was with God, and therefore, he was there when he made the world. So that's where it goes. In the beginning, he was with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So everything that exists was made by Jesus. And nothing that exists wasn't made by Jesus. In him, in Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, or cannot overcome it, or does not overcome it. So one of the things about light, we see it in the creation account. Everything was dark. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then he separated the light and the darkness. He called the light day and the darkness night. And why did God have to go around separating light from darkness? Let's think about it for a second before I just straight up give you the answer. He had to separate light from darkness because if he didn't, we would have light. There'd be no darkness. Because darkness, as John says, cannot overcome light. Light enters darkness whether darkness wants it to or not, and darkness can't do anything about it. Which makes the whole like concept of black holes such a like paradox of an issue in our brain, right? Like, if a black hole exists and can suck in even light, right? So, like, We're just going to not talk about those. As John is talking, he says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Light being shown in the darkness, darkness cannot be so dark that light cannot be seen as light. It might not illuminate the whole room, right? You know, if we were in this space and it was midnight and we lit one candle, you wouldn't be able to see everything. You wouldn't be able to read your Bible in the back pew, right? But you would see it. John said in the beginning, before the world existed, Jesus was there. He made everything, and in him was life, right? Because we didn't exist until Jesus, along with God the Father and the Spirit, made mankind. In him, in Jesus' life. And then he goes into the future from before the world to the current state of affairs when Jesus showed up. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. Then he talks about John the Baptist coming as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all should believe in him. John the Baptist came and said, like, listen, guys, somebody coming after me is the one we're waiting for. He's the one where we'll find life. He is the one that will bring us back to God, so you better believe in him. And John the Baptist worked so hard to get people prepped for Jesus. And we get, you know, Jesus gets baptized and everyone's like, oh, this is great. And then like immediately, like the whole plan just falls apart, right? At least from a human perspective. John was out there doing his ministry for several years, and then Jesus finally shows up and like hardly anyone follows him. But he's the light of the world. And John many times says, I am not the one, I am not the light, I am not the Messiah, but the one who's coming after me will be. So then we get to this where Jesus is coming into the world as the source of all life for humanity, as a shining light in darkness, and darkness does not overcome light. And we're like, yes, the Messiah has made his way to our planet. All will be made right because darkness cannot overcome light. But here's the sad story, the sad state of affairs. Verse 9, the true light, Jesus, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And we're like, yes, all right. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. And we're like, what? He's the creator. He made the whole world. Everything that exists in our world was made by Jesus, for Jesus, at his pleasure. And he comes into our world as the source of all life and light for us in order to show us where to go. And John was sent ahead of him to prepare the way, to tell people the source of all life is coming. He is our Messiah. He is going to rescue us. And he comes into the world, and the world didn't know him. And we're like, well, that's unfortunate. You know, it gets worse. Verse 11. He came to his own and to his own people. They did not receive him. Jesus didn't show up as like a blue-faced, you know, alien out of nowhere that doesn't belong to anybody. And everyone's like, I don't know anything about that guy. Right? He was a normal human being. Although his birth is a very special occasion that was very abnormal. He had a family. He had extended family. And he had a people group that he was part of. And everyone was fine with Jesus. While he was growing up, nobody really cared about, you know, all this issues and stuff because there weren't too many problems. Everyone was fine with Jesus as he was growing up, becoming, you know, like more familiar with carpentry. Everyone was fine with him. And then he starts his ministry, and people start like following him like there's no tomorrow because like he can feed 5,000 people from nothing. You give him a piece of bread, and you can feed 5,000 people. People start following him because they're like, hey, this guy can heal stuff. Look at that. That guy couldn't walk before. That guy couldn't see before. People start following him like there's no tomorrow. But the second Jesus talks about his actual mission here on earth, even his own people didn't listen. Jesus came to his own people, not that the Jewish people are the only people that Jesus cares about, because he also made the rest of us, but Jesus came to his own people as a human. He talks to his own people. He talks to people that should have been prepped to receive the Messiah. And he shows up, and all the religious leaders hate him. They don't just like, I don't know about this. Let's wait and see kind of a situation. But the vast majority of them hated him to the point that they conspired to kill him. His own people, his own religion, did not receive him because they did not know him. And they didn't want anything to do with him. The good news is that some people did receive him. And that those who received him believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. They were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. When we take this section that John has written for us, we can see what he means in verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. When did John write the Gospel of John? And I'm not going to give you a date here. The answer is after Jesus rose from the grave, right? So, after all of those events. But Jesus also went back to heaven. John says that the light of the world came into the world that it made and shone in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The next book that John will write, well, I don't know, probably will write 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, but one of the books that John will write after the Gospel of John is the book of Revelation. John makes a definitive statement well before he receives his revelation that the darkness has not overcome the light of the world. It may feel like it. Because our world, for having the light of the world in it, sure seems just as dark as before the light came into it. It may seem like the darkness is somehow pushing out light, although we know that that is not how darkness and light work. It may seem a disappointment, the ending of the story that began in such hope on Christmas, that here we are, people that weren't his people, who have received him, that do not get to live in light. We still live in the darkness. But the reassuring hope that John gives us is that the darkness has not overcome it. It can't. Although we were maybe expecting and planning and hoping for a different outcome than being left with the light of the world no longer in the world as a person. Although those who believe in him and receive him do not get teleported out of the darkness and into the light, darkness will not overcome the light of the world. So the first thing I want us to take away from this week for the week of Christmas, every time you see light, think darkness has not overcome it. And if it has, because your light bulb is dying, change it so that you can. Darkness has not overcome the light. The second thing that we need to contemplate here from John chapter 1 is that Jesus came into the world, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. We take on the name of Jesus. We take on the slander word of Christian and wear it as a badge of honor. And there's even plenty of people who clearly don't believe in Jesus that would call themselves Christians because sometimes it's to your benefit. But let's ask the question. Here we are. It seems as though, based on the events of the world that we live in, we're not much better off than before Jesus showed up. If you just look at like how life functions, how people are mean to each other, how rulers abuse their powers, how like people are always greedy, they only look out for themselves, the world doesn't seem all that much better. If Jesus were to come here today, would Christians know him, and would Christians receive him? With those who should be prepped to meet the light of the world face to face because we believe in him and we've received him and we follow him and we take his name everywhere, would we be ready to not only receive him if he shows up and said, like, by the way, I'm Jesus, and we'd be like, hey, cool, come in, but would we know him if he just showed up? And aside from that, the world obviously doesn't know him. Now, if we know him and we're ready to receive him, then shouldn't we be sharing him with the rest of the world? Now, I know you're all like, okay, but Caleb, like, as far as I know, like, you believe you get saved, you stay saved. And I do. So I'm not saying like Christians would not receive Jesus and therefore they're not Christians. They're not saved. But the reality of our life, because there is much darkness in our world, unfortunately, just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin were part of the darkness in Jesus' day, although they were to be the light in their day, we as Christians can sometimes, maybe many times, betray the light that we have by instead of shining our lights, hiding it, not even intentionally because we're ashamed. Like, we're all like, we love the light, right? Everybody out here is like, we love Jesus. We want everyone to love Jesus, right? But we hide our light by our sin, creating darkness that covers the light. Darkness can't defeat the light, but we can sure make the choice to make the light in us as dim as possible. Now we can say, like, so, like, obviously, like, big things like having an affair or murdering someone or, you know, stealing, all of these things that we're like, oh, these are big no-nos, or is the darkness that will cover up the light that we have. That's fair. That's definitely not a good situation. Every time that there's some big revelation of some sort of cover-up inside of churches, ministries, colleges, the whole nine yards, every time that that happens, it damages the witness about the light that we claim to bear. However, it's also in the little things that aren't so little. It's how we talk to people. It's how we talk to our neighbors, our coworkers, to people who disagree with us, to people who agree with us. I mean, like, the way we talk can betray the light that is in us. What we focus on talking about can betray the light that we have. We are to be shining lights as stars in the darkness. So does it make sense that we just talk about doom and gloom all the time? Does that sound like something light does? Talk about how dark it is outside. No, light shows up and is like, here's the little bit of hope you have. When you drive around and you're like, oh, everything is dark, and there's like one house that has got like 5 million Christmas lights, right? Like, I like that place. Yes, we're surrounded by darkness, and that's where light belongs, right? If we're standing next to the sun, what good does a 500-watt light bulb do? Right? Light serves its purpose in darkness, but light does not serve its purpose by focusing on the darkness. It serves its purpose by focusing on being the light. So let me take this out of the metaphor for a second. We are the little lights that Jesus has left for the world as the stars, like Paul mentions in Philippians. We are the lights in the darkness, and we can shine by being the hope in the world. It's easy for us to get overwhelmed by the darkness, to see how bad things are. But is there not hope? Because if we as the lights, those who have received Jesus, are not prepared to know him and to recognize him and to receive him and shine forward, we are the people who should be showing people there is hope in hopelessness. There can be joy amidst a lifetime of pain. We can be the lights Jesus have left us to be by doing what he did, being willing to enter the darkness and not focus on the darkness. What did Jesus say he came to do? Seek and save those who are lost. It's ironically what we do with lights all the time. Somebody is lost. Get out the big old light and put it on a helicopter. Start looking around, right? That's what we are here for. We need to be willing to go into the darkness and understand that the light that is in Jesus that he has given to us cannot be overcome by the darkness. We can become overwhelmed by the thought of how evil everything is outside, but no matter what is going on in our world, it cannot overcome the light Jesus brought. I think we need to understand, as I begin to think about what Britain's life will be reminded that, like, yes, maybe days of past were marginally better, but they were never light. In case you need to understand more of what I'm saying, in my lifetime, abortion here has always been legal. I could have legally been aborted. Nobody would have said anything. We have gone through many different conflicts, some for halfway decent reasons. And, you know, I'm not here to debate those things. I'm just saying, like, this is my experience in my life, is that there has not been much light, days of bright hope and future in my lifetime. Now, you can talk to me afterwards and tell me about all the things I should be very optimistic about and positive about and all these other things. But I think that it is good for us to tell the truth that, yes, maybe things were better for the gospel or for us or just as a city or a town or a country. Maybe it was better at some point by some level of success. But it was never the light that Jesus brought into the world. Our world's never been that good, which is the whole point of Revelation, is that God's going to make it that good. But we have to come to grips with the fact that we live in darkness, and that darkness doesn't bear a political party's stamp of approval. That darkness doesn't come from people being super wealthy or being super poor or coming from different countries or speaking different languages. The darkness is inherent to our existence because we are sinners. And Jesus, without thought for his life, entered into the darkness that was designed at him to overcome him. And he said, I'll go there and I will be the light. I will shine in the darkness even though the world was not did not know does not know me, the world will not receive me, not even my own people, not even the people I've been prepping for thousands of years to receive their Messiah. I'll go there, I'll be the light, and they will crucify me for it. It's fine. I'll come back to life, and I will bring the light of heaven to earth one day. And here we are, left as Jesus's little lights. So let us, one, be ready to recognize him. Let us get in a better habit of identifying what is truth and grace and light, and what is the darkness that is just part of where we are. Let us understand that the darkness is what gives us purpose. And then let us serve our purpose by making sure that we do not cover any part of our light by being hopeless, by sinning outright against people who do not know Jesus, and the only thing that they have even come close to knowing Jesus is knowing you. Let us live as those who are bearers of the witness like John, saying, I'm not the light, but I know who the light is. I'm a small enough light to get you to the big light. Let us recognize that we do not serve our task, our purpose, that Jesus coming at Christmas came to give us. If all we do is huddle with light, but let us also be steadfast and understanding the darkness cannot overcome it. But that doesn't mean that darkness cannot have an effect on my light. I've got to make sure that I live my life like Jesus. And the words I say, the actions that I take, the priorities I give in my life, the value that I place on things and people all affect if I am doing my job as light in the darkness. Verse 14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 16, and from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Because the law was given through Moses, grace and truth, though, came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, and Jesus has made him known. So one of the reasons why I enjoy the world, let every heart prepare him room, and let earth receive her king, is a very powerful thing at the Christmas season. The light came into the world, and we tried to kill it. But darkness does not overcome light, and the light will return, and we, as his own people who believe in him, should be ready to receive our king. And the way we do that is we live as though he is our king right now in the darkness. And one day we will receive the reward where there won't be any more darkness. It will be light all the time. It doesn't matter if the power goes out. There's going to be light everywhere and no more darkness. And we won't have to be worried about, will the darkness come over? It doesn't matter, because God, the one Jesus has made known to us by being the light in the world, like that little Christmas light on the dark street, he has made God known to us. Let us go make God known to others. And maybe they won't receive him. That's nothing new. Like, we start sharing the gospel and people are like, I don't want Jesus. Jesus is used to hearing that. You don't have to take it personally. I mean, you should maybe, like, you know, if every time you try to talk about someone about Jesus, they're like, oh, you're a Christian? Boy, that might be a signal you need to look at your own self. But let us go make God known. Let us be little Christmas lights of the hope that God has sent to us in his own Son that went into the darkness to be the light of the world, to help us find our way, to reveal the darkness, and to give us. That's what Jesus came to do as a little baby several years ago. We celebrated Christmas. But let's not get too focused on the holiday parties. Let's not get too focused on making sure we have all the presents wrapped correctly and to the right person. Like, all those things you probably should do. But let's not get overwhelmed by the responsibility of the season that we forget that we have a responsibility as a result of what happened that we have this season. We have the responsibility to be light. Little lights, howbeit, but in utter darkness, little lights still give hope. And they still point people to the right way. And they can point people to the big light so that they can know God, because God has revealed himself to us through Jesus, who came like us on Christmas. Dear Father, thank you that you are a God who loves us enough to send your Son to us, even though you knew the darkness would try to squash the light. And we thank you that you have made a way by believing in Jesus that we are now your children. And we thank you for the light that we have. We thank you that we know when we do things that are wrong and that your Spirit convicts us and we repent and we can be restored. We pray that we would be diligent about being light in our darkness as Jesus was darkness when he was here. That we would not fear the darkness, the evilness of our time, but that we would enter it and shine as lights, as we even heard in Philippians last week, even if it costs our life, even if it brings great pain and suffering, that we would be light, would put off our old self with the desires of the flesh, that we would purposely be looking in our hearts for any little scrap of that to throw aside so we can focus on being lights in the darkness so that those in darkness can be found and come to know. We thank you for this week where we get to celebrate the coming of Jesus as a little baby, but oh, the light that he brought and the hope and the way of salvation. Pray that we would focus on you and your plan and what you want to do in this world this week, and that we would be ready to celebrate Christmas this week. In his name, amen.